Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Nerds and geeks, hold on to your seats because it's about to go down. Welcome to Nerdorama, the voice of the Nerd Nation. I'm Mo Kelly, he's Tawala Sharp, and together we bring you your daily dose of nerd news, analysis, and conversations with the best and brightest of the Nerdverse.
Nerds and geeks, this is it, the Nerdorama Weekend Review for the week ending Friday, September 10th, 2021, beginning with major breaking news. Marvel Studios has just added 4 new movies to their release schedule. Yes, you heard me right. The MCU had previously only released their calendar up to 2023 with a few mysterious, unnamed, to be determined titles on the list. Well, now they have just extended that list well into 2024 with 4, count them, 4 new release dates, including one coming our way February 16th, 2024, the next dropping May 3rd, 2024, and a summer release dropping July 26th, 2024, with the final date being November 8th, 2024. Now, of course, we all want to know, what 4 movies are these going to be? Could this be Deadpool 3? Could it be the first introduction of the X-Men? Could it be Fantastic Four? Could it be Avengers 5? Who knows? All I know is this is big. Also in Marvel news, the official runtime for Venom Let There Be Carnage has been revealed, and it is, thank God, only 90 minutes long, making it the shortest Marvel movie, much less superhero movie, ever released. Which, if you, like me, suffered through the first Venom film, this news is heaven sent. Jeez Louise. Oh, and yo, in some GTFOHWTBS news, it's being reported that Scarlett Johansson was seeking a $100 million bonus for Black Widow, and when Disney refused, she sued. Yes, it is being reported that Scarlett Johansson was negotiating a $100 million bonus with the anticipation of Black Widow hitting well over the $1 billion mark based on past Marvel film records. Now, when you look at the fact that currently Black Widow sits at only $372 million worldwide for the box office, with that number hitting roughly $500 million when you add in the Disney Plus numbers, Black Widow still performed way below the anticipated $1 billion-plus box office. Which, I'm sure the team at Disney that monitors such things like box office receipts and actually was able to read the room and see that, hey, COVID, hello, anyone, COVID, box office is obviously not going to do those numbers. Hell, no film this year has really hit over that $1 billion mark. Why would Black Widow be any different? Scarlett Johansson obviously was believing the hype of her team, and she thought, yeah, it's going to. So she essentially slapped Disney's counteroffer out of their hands and sued. To which we go back to my earlier point. GTFOHWTBS. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. Okay? Stop it. Moving on over to the world of DC, plans for Batman Day 2021 have just been announced. Batman Day officially drops on Saturday, September 18th, and is a day that will feature the release of some monumental and highly anticipated projects from the world of Batman, with content spanning movies, TV, comics, and more. Beginning with Batman The Audio Adventures, which is an HBO Max exclusive scripted podcast that will debut all 10 episodes on Batman Day. Additionally, Batman the Audio Adventures is going to get an 80-page prestige format one-shot comic, which will be released in October. And in the days leading up to Batman Day, DC is going to be launching the World Anthology, a 184-page tribute that will feature stories from comic creators across the globe. This anthology will be released ahead of Batman Day on September 14th. Batman Day is also going to see DC re-releasing a special edition of the Batman Fortnite 0.1, Batman Nightwatch Bat-Tech 1, and a new comic/merchandise line which partners Batman with the gaming organization FaZe Clan. The FaZe Clan Batman collaboration is written by Josh Torello and illustrated by Scott Eaton. It features a number of FaZe Clan members, including FaZe Rug, FaZe Banks, FaZe Adapt, FaZe Apex, FaZe Temper, FaZe Rain, and FaZe Blaze. And really and truly, what I need is for someone to hit me up and let me know, what is FaZe Clan? Let me know. Hit me up on Twitter at Nerdorama News, on Facebook at Nerdorama News, or on Instagram at Nerdorama News. However you choose to hit me and let me know, what is FaZe Clan? And should I be excited about their collaborating with Batman for Batman Day, which once again is taking place Saturday, September 18th. And in some comic book news, let me turn it over to my brother from another mother, the one and only Hannibal Taboo, with a special weekend review edition of The Bi-Pile.
Hello and welcome to The Bi-Pile, the only online comic book review column that's in as many places as Simu Liu and John Boyega's stock photography. My name is Hannibal Taboo, and you can find me here as well as online using @ H-A-N-N-I, B as in bounce, A-L, T as in tough, A, B as in bounce, U. That's on Instagram, Tumblr, Facebook, Twitter, the back of one of the cards from Star Wars Epic Duels, and everywhere that you'd like to be. These reviews are for books that came out September 8th, 2021, and there are four sections to our reviews. The titular Bi-Piles for books that were really amazing, had to be purchased in the moment, or from a series that's been great for some time. Let's start there with a little bit of the latter. The Nice House on the Lake, #4, from Black Label DC Comics, with the creative team of James Tynion IV, Alvaro Martinez Bueno, Jordi Belair, and Ann World Design. With a must-see ending and very clever plotting along the way, The Nice House on the Lake, #4, plays a kind of sociological experiment into a brilliant game with an unexpected player leaping to the forefront. This bold, brilliant work is of enormously high literary quality and amazingly has provided a full-fledged narrative each issue thus far. 12 people were invited by their friend Walter to vacation in Wisconsin at a luxury home. Some knew each other in different states of education, some as adults drinking in New York City bars, but Walter was the connective tissue. However, Walter was an alien and set them all aside as his people set the world on fire, essentially murdering humanity, while these 12 were left in abject luxury to consider the aftermath. This issue focuses on the comedian, a man named David, who uses his professional skills to act as a kind of detective. After a week, boxes of food and supplies mysteriously started appearing upon the front porch with a notepad. Pretty much anything the guests want could be written on that notepad, and it'll show up shortly. If you rip off a sheet, they can make private requests that will arrive with their symbol placed upon it. David, very shortly, becomes the mailman, using these deliveries as a chance to catch up with everyone and pay attention as well. Looking at some of the most effective comedians, Mooney, Wright, Rivers, Ajaye, their keen observational skills are what allowed them to dissect situations with such intimate detail. David says of his friendship with Walter, "I like that he saw that I saw more than I let on. Like, he knew I was smarter than I acted, that I picked up on stuff." This wonderful character element, delivered near the beginning of James Tynion IV's script, created room for a wonderful, inevitable, surprising conclusion that really nailed it here. The design choices and the artwork from Alvaro Martinez Bueno, Jordi Belair, and Ann World Design wonderfully captured moments of respect, anguish, cleverness, boredom, and confusion in turns. There's one page that's solely in the hands of Ann World Design, and it's an emotional, gut punch. There are no capes, no masks other than the lies we tell each other and ourselves. But public perception be damned, this is some of the best things that could be done with comics. The rating would be buy. The next book we have in the buy pile will be Six Sidekicks of Trigger Keaton, number 4 from Image Comics, which is a really engaging book. I don't have the creative team written down yet, sorry. But it's a comedy book based on some really unusual artwork and the idea of a Chuck Norris-style action star on television who had a series of sidekicks that all essentially hated him and when he died, band together to solve his murder. It's a wonderful bit of misdirection. There's so many funny things that go on here. If you live in Los Angeles, especially the northern parts of it, you will recognize many parts of the entertainment industry. It's very realistic in that regard. It's very funny, though, and very, very outrageously depicted. So that rating would be buy on Six Sidekicks of Trigger Keaton, number 4. Super enjoyable. Look for a more detailed review of that on bleedingcool.com. Likewise, you'll also find a more detailed review of Green Lantern, number 6, with DC Comics, with the creative team of Jeffrey Thorne, Marco Santucci, Tom Rainey, Micah T.A., and Simon Bolan. What I like about this book is they've in some ways done something that's been done before, which is blown up the central Green Lantern battery on Oa, which is the thing that powers Green Lanterns and gives them their magical wishing rings. There's no wishing rings. It doesn't work that way. The only powers left in the universe are very hostile and antagonistic towards them, essentially. And that plays out in some very interesting ways here, that the remnants of the Green Lantern Corps have to play diplomat, and they have to do it in very savvy ways that doesn't expend the will and rush of power that they've always done in the past. That's interesting to watch, especially as you watch the two essential lead characters, Jo Mullen, who's here from her amazing Star Turn in the Far Sector miniseries, and Jon Stewart, who is on a whole nother page. He's stepped up in a big, big way in a very engaging fashion that's super enjoyable. So lots to like about Green Lantern number 6. The price point is right. There's a fantastic Star Turn by Sinestro. A little bit more about that in a minute. There's lots of great things that happen in this book, so that's definitely a rating of buy. The next book on the buy pile, yes, there's a lot of them this week, is Eve number 5 from Boom Studios with the creative team of Victor Laval, Jo Mi Gyeong, Brittany Peer, and Ann World Design. Always reliable. With an immaculate black as an American aesthetic and a powerful message to push us forward, Eve 5 is a lump in your throat, a wind at your back, and the horizon ahead of you. With the threat of self-inflicted global annihilation an all-too-real possibility, the title character says it best. There's no future in despair. Eve is a clone, one of many who's been tasked with taking a journey to try and undo the sins of her father, or of all of our fathers, in leaving a messy world that needs fixing. Through this series, she has struggled against impossible odds with her wits, her parents' lessons, and her determination as guiding stars. Here, she claims her inheritance and sets herself to do something that didn't happen before, leaving a better place than the one she found. Victor Laval's script here is wonderful, showing Eve as wholly human, tired, hopeful, frustrated, triumphant. From the fishbone t-shirt to the symbol that greets her when she finds her inheritance to the almost stained glass, be-inspired revelation she discovers, she learns from an oral history and seeks improvement. The artwork of Jo Mi Gyeong, Brittany Peer, and the incomparable Ann World Design depicts a dystopia not so far across the brink that it can't be pulled back. While there's a little after-earthishness in the scenes, the science, and more importantly, spirit of this work are engrossing. Don't miss the back matter for a sense of the creative DNA for this project, which makes a lot of things add up once you examine it through that lens. At the same time, denying the conservatives of nostalgia while being propelled toward new ideas by it. This is work that is worth seeing, and a wonderful note towards the future. So that rating would be buy. The next section of our reviews is called Honorable Mentions. It's for books that were good, but maybe the good wasn't quite enough to get your money out of your cryptocurrency or your Venmo or however you get down. I respect your privacy. Starting there, we have Green Lantern 2021 Annual Number 1 from DC Comics with the creative team of Ryan Cady, Sami Basri, Tom Derenick, Hi-Fi, and Rob Lee. With an intriguing turn of events, Green Lantern 2021 Annual Number 1 makes a number of brave choices in talking the topic of fear. As a new player seems poised to switch teams, the concepts of good and bad get a little blurry in a way that feels new and fresh. Jessica Cruz has gone from a woman terrified of her own shadow to being a well-regarded member of the space cops called the Green Lanterns. With her colleagues, she helped bring order to a lawless galaxy until the light in her ring went out, nearly taking her confidence with it. Now she's got a new look, a new modus operandi, and maybe a new job. There are a number of interesting things that writer Ryan Cady did with the script, intentional or not. First of all, his characterization of Sinestro, part Tarkin, part Dr. Doom, part Tom Ellis Lucifer, part David Xanatos, is absolutely fabulous. There are a number of quotables here that can be used in nerd conversations for years to come. Likewise, the interaction with Hal Gordon, a white cop giving a woman of color a hard time without all facts, was an unexpected refreshing choice as well. The action itself was a savvy lesson that, as Sinestro anticipated, revealed things about Cruz that even she may not have suspected. There's also the question, does this make Cruz a supervillain now? An anti-hero? Do you become a fascist by working with fascists? The philosophical implications are fascinating. It also begs another question. Who is the antagonist here? Jordan? The supposed problem in space? Cruz herself? The visual presentation here by Sami Basri, Tom Derenick, Hi-Fi, and Rob Lee do a great job making these alien environments feel real. The montage of fear is a great gag. There's great new approaches to the yellow-shaded power of the Sinestro Corp. Aside from trying to figure out who to root against, the $6 price tag is perhaps the biggest villain here. Without that, this is indeed an enjoyable work that maybe gives us something new to consider. So that rating would be honorable mention. Okay, I need to talk to you about this next book, fam. Hang on now. The next book is called The Me You Love in the Dark, number 2 from Image Comics, with the creative team of Scotty Young, Jorge Corona, Jean-Francois Bilieu, and Nate Picos. All right. There's this artist who's been making fluffy, cuddly, happy pop art for years to great commercial success. But she wants more. She wants to connect with the work. She doesn't really feel anything. So she finds this weird old house and she rents it and she moves in and she decides to start trying to find something there. But what she finds is a voice and a presence that's old and listening and weird. I'm not normally into horror books. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's not really my vibe, even though I'm writing Mississippi Zombie for Second Sight Publishing. That'll be out sometime next year, I believe. But this is weird. This is weird and engaging. Like, you turn the page and you can't stop yourself from turning the next page. It's really interesting. However, it's a little short on plot. Like, each issue feels like one thing happens and that's about it. So, for the money, that's hard to argue. But I'm really interested in seeing what this is going to look like collected, because it's doing some weird, unsuspected, interesting things. So that's something to see. That's The Me You Love in the Dark, number 2 from Image Comics, with a rating of honorable mention. Next, we have what's called the meh piles for books. I mean, they happen, but you're going to forget them. I'm going to forget them. Nobody really cares. In the meh pile, we would find a number of things, including Masters of the Universe Revelation number 3, Batman Catwoman number 7. That was really low, actually. Black Manta number 1, which was a solid start, but it was really thin on character. I'm not really sure who these people are. It had great action scenes, though. Blue and Gold number 2. Suicide Squad number 7, Suicide Squad 2021 Annual number 1, Suicide Squad Get Joker number 2, all meh. There was Champions number 9, Daredevil number 34, Defenders number 2, Khazar Lord of the Savage Land number 1, Shang-Chi number 4, Shang-Chi number 4, now that we all know how to pronounce it, Star Wars Dr. Aphra number 14, I want to like this book, but it's just not catching it for me. Star Wars War of the Bounty Hunters number 4, which was a little closer. It had some escalating solos, with no pun intended. And X-Force number 23. I'm sorry, also Dancing with the Dragon number 1 and Redshift number 2 from Scout Comics. Those are all meh books. The last section of our reviews is called No Just Known. It's for books that are abjectly terrible and should not be purchased under any circumstance. And I'm very glad to report that I didn't find any books there. That doesn't mean they weren't there. That just means that I didn't find them. With so many wonderful purchases, this is an all-star week. Definitely check out some comic books, either digitally or online, or if you feel safe going out to a comic book shop, please wear your mask, please get vaccinated. Thank you once again for Mo and Tawala for having me here. As always, my name is Hannibal Taboo. Please check out Subversive Adventure Fiction False Flag at operative.net for free, and Project Wildfire will be in your comic book stores this November 24th. You can pre-order it now at your local comic book store. Go to operative.net for more information. Thank you so much for your time. So appreciate being able to talk to you. And I'll see you next time.
Okay. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The matter is, I'm complicated.
Many thanks, Brother Taboo. I appreciate your contributions to Nerdorama each and every week on Tuesday when you deliver a brand new edition of the Bipile, letting us know what's what on comic book shelves. Now, let's take a look at what's coming to the big and small screen. And let me tell you, this week, DC is doing the damn thing. Up first with Aquaman, King of Atlantis.
He is Aquaman, and he just became King of Atlantis.
Thank you.
Is there a different throne we could...
No.
And the fate of his people. Of his home. Of all the world is in his hands.
That's right.
So yeah, no pressure.
Join Aquaman for the undersea adventure of a lifetime. Aquaman, King of Atlantis, new special event streaming October 14th on HBO Max.
Yes, from Warner Media Kids and Family in DC, this three-part animated miniseries, Aquaman, King of Atlantis, is a new animated series from Warner Brothers Animation that presents a playful reimagining of the iconic DC superhero, which tells this really funny tale about Aquaman's first adventures as the King of Atlantis. This is dropping on Thursday, October 14th. Definitely on my must-watch list. But DC did not stop there because they dropped a major new trailer for the upcoming Injustice animated film.
Imagine meeting you here, Lois.
This is a priority call to all Justice League members. A woman is missing.
She's one of ours. Her name is Lois Lane.
Lois? My masterpiece!
Brace yourself!
You took his wife. You took his unborn child. And his city. Why?
After all these years, Batsy, you really need reasons from me?
What happened to Metropolis can never be allowed to occur again.
You'll throw away everything the Justice League stands for.
Man, oh man, oh man, this looks just as good as every single DC animated movie that drops like ever. Based on the video game Injustice Gods Among Us, Injustice is set in a world gone mad where Joker has killed Lois Lane, which of course absolutely drives Superman batshit crazy. And when Superman goes batshit crazy, what are you gonna do? Call on Batman and have Batman pull together those heroes brave enough to, yeah, stand up to Superman. Mayhem, of course, ensues. To see how it all goes down, make sure you get it when it drops October 19th. And it may not be DC, but it's Warner Brothers. And oh man, oh man, oh man. They may have just dropped the trailer for what will be the most anticipated film of the year.
Thomas? You seem particularly triggered right now. Can you tell me what happened?
I've had dreams that weren't just dreams.
Am I crazy? We don't use that word in here.
Hi.
Have we met?
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small, and the ones that mother gives you, don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall.
Time to fly.
And if you're chasing rabbits,
if you want the truth, Neo, you're going to have to follow me.
The only thing that matters to you is still here. I know it's why you're still fighting and why you will never give up.
You don't know me.
No?
Years to be going back to where it all started, back to the Matrix.
Oh my goodness, I mean seriously, from that music in this trailer singing One Pill Keeps You In and One Pill Pulls You Out. I mean, just the images, everything about this trailer takes me back to the beginning of The Matrix. It makes me want to just dive back into some serious ultra conspiracy theories. And yeah, I know everyone is tripping off the fact that Lawrence Fishburne does not seem to be in this film. And from all appearances, Morpheus has been recast and is now being played by Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. But I gotta say, I'm not mad. This trailer is the truth. Damn it, this trailer is the truth. Hey, speaking of the truth, time to check in with the one and only Carnival Jedi, my girl Tosh, with another edition of Tosh's Top 5.
Hi, I'm Tosh, also known as Carnival Jedi on all platforms, and I am here with my top 5 zombie slayers in no particular order. Number 1, Alice in Resident Evil. The cool thing about Alice is that she was created specifically for the movie and not the video games. Although I love the games, I appreciate that the movies existed separately from them. The game was also the first time I ever had a jump scare from a video game. Alice is on this list because she really seems impossible to kill. Number 2, Michonne from The Walking Dead. Michonne came on the scene with an apocalyptic cheat code. She could easily navigate her way through hordes with her boyfriend and friend who turned. She just amputated their jaws and arms, and their zombie smell masked her from other walkers. She proved herself countless times as being more than capable and a survivor. Number 3, Ash from The Evil Dead and its subsequent movies and TV show. Ash has been through a lot of scary, evil stuff. He's also caused most of it, but that's not the point. When his hand turned evil, he chopped it off and replaced it with a chainsaw. And that's why he's on this list. Number 4, Shaun of the Dead. Shaun is kind of an everyman character whose life lacked direction until the zombie apocalypse. He discovers that he's much more capable than he once thought, and by the end of the movie, he saves the day and gets the girl. Number 5, Peter from Dawn of the Dead. Peter was part of a SWAT team sent to destroy the zombies that were being kept alive by sentimental residents of an apartment building. When someone on his team panics and starts shooting zombies and innocent bystanders, Peter stops him by killing him. This makes him the unofficial protagonist of the film and one of my favorites. That's it for Tasha's top five. I will see you next week with another five.
Word up. Thank you so much, Sister Queen. I always look forward to Tasha's top five. What will you drop next week? Only way to find out is to, tune in. Real quick though, before I get out of here, the toy report. Unfortunately, didn't really see much that I would love to add to my shelf. Except for maybe the Marvel What If Zombie Funko Pops. Those look really, really cool. In addition to Zombie Hunter Spidey, they've also got zombie versions of Captain America, Iron Man, Doctor Strange, the Falcon, and Scarlet Witch. I'm sure more Marvel What If Zombie Funko Pops are going to be hitting the shelf soon, but those are the first ones they're rolling out. I'm feeling them. I don't know. Check them out. And with that, my friends, I bid you adieu, thanking you for tuning in for another edition of the Nerdorama Week in Review. Excelsior!
Hey guys, Mo Kelly here. The new daily Nerdorama podcast is featured on iHeartRadio. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast feed to get your daily dose of nerd news. Also available on iTunes, Spreaker, and all the top podcasting apps. It's free and perfect for everyone in your nerd family.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.